right, and welcome to another episode of Two Guys, One Level, a place where two guys talk about all things gaming. I'm your host, Tortuga, accompanied by Pixel.
And welcome back to another episode indeed. Today is June 10th. We had a pretty jam-packed week, thankfully, so very excited to kind of jump in there.
Oh, we're going straight into the Game Fest stuff, huh?
Might as well. I mean, we had a couple of hits in there. I was pretty surprised with what. I mean, I was surprised with what we got.
Yeah, I mean, I will always be salty when Beyond Good and Evil 2 isn't updated through these.
To be fair,
events.
Your boys are planning something for in like 2 days, the 12th, I think. Ubisoft is having their own.
I know, but I mean, they still have made time for some Ubisoft announcements, if I remember right. So it's not like they couldn't have made anything through Game Fest.
I mean, it was like a little 2D thing, the Prince of Persia game, which surprisingly looked pretty good.
Still something, you know, it was the first time this ever come up, you know, no one knew this was in the works. It wasn't leaked as far as I know. And yeah, so we are getting a Prince of Persia. It's not a remake. It's a new game, but it's a side scroller puzzle thing, if I remember right, from the small trailers.
Kind of weird. Kind of weird, to be honest, because you don't play as a titular prince. Like, I'm pretty sure you go rescue the prince.
Interesting. I've never played Prince of Persia because that was a PlayStation thing, if I remember right. So either that or Sega. Either way, on a console I never owned, so I never got into the franchise.
The trilogy that I played on PlayStation 2, and they kind of brought it to the OG Xbox, if I'm not mistaken, was The Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, its sequel, Warrior Within, and then the third one, The Two Thrones. Those were really enjoyable platformers, had a really good story. One and two, I think, were the best. Three was eh. But overall, it was kind of nice to see.
Now we got this one, Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. And it has a release date of 2024.
Yeah, and it looks like it's going to be some sort of potentially like a Metroidvania. You know, it
looked like, that's fair, yeah.
It did look like Metroid Dread as well. So, I don't know. I'm excited to see what they do with it.
Yeah, I know there's a pretty good fan base for Prince of Persia, so that is coming out. They also announced a Final Fantasy VII remastered, redone, like from the ground up.
Yeah, so this is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is the title of this one. So this is the second game in the Final Fantasy VII remake series, and it looks fantastic. What blew me away and kind of has me with my tinfoil hat on is they went out of their way to mention that it's going to be two discs. And kind of makes me worry on what kind of install size we got going on here.
Right. I mean, we haven't seen that in a while.
Exactly. The last one that I can remember off the top of my head, I think, was Final Fantasy 13.
That sounds right. Yep. I want to say I remember dealing with that. And I mean, for whatever it's worth, that game was fantastic. There was so much. And honestly, this game looks almost like that. So it's not to say that this game looks old. It's to say that Final Fantasy 13, it looked that fantastic, way ahead of its time. And it's like it still holds up to today's games. Like, you can
actually
pop, like,
didn't play 13.
Really? It's so good.
It did hold up for sure.
Yeah, you can pop it in right now and you would think it's a game that came out last week. Like, it does not look like it's old, like it's running on an old engine. I don't know. Square Enix has always done that. We want our games to look way more futuristic than what the current standards are. And I think that's what makes Square Enix stand out, right? So it still sucks that this is going to be a PlayStation exclusive. So I won't be able to enjoy it. Unless they make bigger controllers.
It's still coming out on PC. We just don't have a date like they had promised. They had originally mentioned it was going to be on PC, but it just doesn't seem like that's the case.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Sony will pay the exclusive tax to make sure that Microsoft keeps their hands on it, off of it, for as long as possible.
I mean, that seems to be their game right now, so who knows?
Hate you, Sony. next thing, another PlayStation exclusive, which looks pretty good, is the Spider-Man 2, right? I think every Spider-Man that comes out for PlayStation is, you know, fantastic. The graphics always look great. The pictures that come from it, from the gameplay, always look amazing. And I'm sure this one's going to be no different.
Agreed. I don't know if you got a chance to play the first one. It is available on Steam if you haven't gotten a chance. It is very, very fun. I know you were a big fan of Spider-Man 2 on the OG Xbox.
And first this, game honestly, I've owned.
But, yeah, and this game really expands on that open world swinging combat. You would enjoy it. 2 does look great. I didn't get a chance to beat Miles Morales, which was a sequel DLC kind of thing. They did mention this is going to be... You will be able to play as both characters. There will be, I think, certain story missions which will be designated to either Peter Parker or Miles Morales. But they did mention overall you could pretty much switch between them in the open.
That's pretty neat. Speaking on switching, Mortal Kombat 1 gets a new, not switching mechanic per se, but they introduced this kind of like co-op, tag team system where you pick your main character and then you can pick a secondary backup character that doesn't necessarily fight per se, but you can call them into the fight, which is interesting.
That is weird. I read about it kind of like an assist character, so I'm very curious how that's going to be fully implemented if they're not really going to be fighting.
So from what I'm understanding and from what they showed on Game Fest, you get your main characters, right? Whatever number that's going to be. And then once you select your main character, there's going to be a secondary screen of the assistant characters, the tag team characters, right? Or the backup characters. And they will be essentially off screen the entire fight. And there's just a button that you press that'll call them onto the screen. So just like you have punching and kicking, then there's going to be another button that calls them out to interact with the fight. And you will then be able to include them in specific combos. You can call them basically wherever. So depending on who you pick, they interact differently with what character and what have you. So it's just expanding more on your options as far as sequences go in these fighting games. So, which I think is cool. It's a cool mechanic. And overall the game, like at least the story mode that they showed, looks and feels exactly like Injustice. They show a cutscene with the characters interacting with one another. Something, you know, off the wall happens, and then you have to fight right there. You know, it zooms in into that scene, and then you're playing whoever the good guy is in the story mode.
Well, that's pretty legit there. Because I'm pretty sure it was Warner Brothers who did Injustice, but it was Ed Boon who was the director, who is the creator or co-creator of Mortal Kombat. So he's probably just bringing some of that over.
Yeah, it looked exactly like it. And I want to say, even when you punch someone incredibly hard and you crack their rib, and they zoom in on that, like it honestly feels like it's Injustice with Mortal Kombat skins.
Oh, yeah.
That's just me.
It's the same developer. It's still NetherRealm Studios. Something that looked okay, like the aesthetic was good. It's just not something that I think that I would personally play. Lies of P, the Pinocchio Dark Souls game. There was also
it looked interesting.
It did. I'm sure people who enjoy that genre will enjoy it. But I'm pretty sure that particular genre at the moment is just going to be me and Elden Ring. I don't really think anything else calls out to me. Within that particular genre.
Right, yeah. When Elden Ring 2 announces, bro, man.
Right. There was also Sandland, Akira Toriyama is the creator of Dragon Ball. I'm pretty sure that was one of his mangas. That's why the animation looks like that. But that looked like something to pass the time. People are really excited for Alan Wake 2. Not really my thing. How cool was this though when they actually showed Baldur's Gate the city?
Yeah, it was pretty nice. I haven't had a chance to follow like super D&D nerd YouTube channels that'll like, this is this building. This is where this happened, you know, 15 years ago in the original books and things like that. Those are always cool to watch to get some on the ground knowledge. But yeah, they showed a bit more. They showed the second antagonist, which, if I remember right, there were three total. So there is still one more left to either be revealed or we discover in game. But I want to say that they're teasing us with three overarching bad guys, which is pretty cool because usually when you run a D&D campaign, you try to go for three arching stories. And then that's usually when, you know, that's usually when the campaign completes after you defeat three overall bad guys. So I think that's pretty neat for them to try to go and give us that exact same feel through the video game.
Right. We'll also try to keep you guys updated with the future game show, which is actually airing in about an hour. So 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here. Keep an eye out for the Instagram and the Twitter. If there's anything that pops up, we'll definitely put it on there for you guys. So we'll see what gets announced today.
Yeah. A throwback. I was surprised to see this period. Sonic 2D side-scroller.
Yeah. Multiplayer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, multiplayer. Yeah. You can play with four people. I was shocked. I did not expect them to throw out a 2D side-scrolling Sonic, and it looked like it was the exact same that you saw on Sega. It's a little bit more polished, but still, overall, the same feel. Even that mode where you're falling and it's like the puzzle is twisting at the same time, depending on what you hit, I saw that in there, and I was like, wow, I completely forgot that was even a thing in Sonic. So very cool throwback that they threw in there. So I'm sure Sonic is going to be doing well. Capcom owns them, right?
No, that's still Sega. That should be still Sega.
No, well, Sega is going to be banking out because they're doing well with the movies. They're doing well with these games. So good on them.
Yeah, no, for real. For any enthusiasts out there in the VR world, Meta did announce the Quest 3 coming this summer, if I'm not mistaken,
interesting.
At $499. And I think there was a slight price drop on the Meta Quest 2.
Gotcha. Yeah, speaking of VR, just to throw it in there, Apple also announced their AR, augmented reality. So not virtual reality, augmented reality, which the biggest difference means augmented still captures the real world, and then you throw in some additional elements, making it an augmented reality, right? That's the biggest, you know, line there. And essentially, they said that it's going to basically be goggles, and it's going to feel like you're controlling your iPad with it. You're going to be able to open up apps and interact with it. But the cool thing about it is the fact that you don't need any secondary Joy-Cons or controllers or anything. It 100% works with just the movements of your hand. As you pinch and scroll, you tap the app as it reacts to your eyeballs, apparently, whatever you're looking at, and then you confirm with your hands. It's pretty interesting technology. However, it comes with the price tag of, I want to say it was $3,499.
You got it. Yeah. And the, not really my thing, but I did read something that their stock actually took a pretty heavy hit. Because of the way that they marketed it, it looks like they were doing it to enterprise first before home use.
Yep, which is not uncommon with tech. A lot of the time, enterprise do end up testing out things. I know Microsoft gears majority of their products towards enterprise first and then home use second. So it's not uncommon in the tech world for that to happen. It is uncommon for Apple, I guess, to do that. But I would argue that everything Mac is geared towards enterprises already.
That's
already meant for enterprise first and then home use second. So it's not shocking. It is just shocking that someone's going to make AR essentially for corporations first, because who's except for Apple, which I wouldn't mind sitting in on that meeting to see how it could be utilized. But I don't really see people going out of their way to buying 10, 15, 30, 50 copies, versions of these things just to have meetings. I don't know. That's just me, I guess.
I mean, I can definitely see I could see some corporations doing that. So yeah, put on your headset. You're fired. We'll be there to collect it.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense. A new game that actually kind of hyped me up a little bit for it. Wasn't expecting it. Well, it was Sandland. Did you catch that one?
That was the Dragon Ball one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of. It's the same creators of Dragon Ball, but it's not Dragon Ball at all. But the same artists. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, where were you, bro? We just had this conversation.
When?
Bro, we had it to be. I mentioned it.
Oh, you said it so fast then. I didn't hear the word Sandland at all.
But yeah, it does look really good. What are your thoughts on it?
I think it looks really, really good. It honestly looks like it's a Dragon Ball Z-esque game, except there's no one from Dragon Ball Z that's going to be in it. And it's an interesting concept of a world where humans and demons coexist. And I think you play as a little demon. I don't know if you get to switch over to a human eventually, but it looks like the protagonist is a little demon saving the human world. So it just looked interesting. And I'm pretty sure I saw, in the trailer, the little kid going Super Saiyan. So I'm very excited to see more of this. I hope they release more gameplay, more details about it, and they keep the hype for this. I don't think they put a release date out on it, but it looks like it's going to be available on all major consoles.
Yeah, no release date, if I'm not mistaken. It's going to be a Bandai Namco game, right? They usually do pretty well. Mm-hmm. Very average or above average. They never really hit it quite out of the park, but solid eights, I think.
And it'll almost most likely definitely be a very short game. I don't expect it to run more than 6, 7, 8 hours.
No, but I definitely see it being longer than that.
For main story, I don't think so. I played anything DBZ related, they're quick. Like, yeah, you can
know the story already.
Yeah, you can 100%ing always takes longer, but I'm talking about from A to Z, just going through the story. But this did look open world, so that might change things a little bit. Right. But I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully they release more detail about it, because like I said, it could potentially be short. Especially as an intro to a new kind of saga. So hopefully it lands. Hopefully it sticks.
Yeah, we also had John Carpenter's Toxic Commando, another zombie game, a.k.a. Left 4 Dead from Wish.
more zombie games. Clearly what we need.
I am sick and tired of zombie games. For real.
Give me some ninja stuff. I know I put it in our group chat, but I'm going to say it out loud. We need more ninja type games. Ninjas or samurais. More of that, please. Like, it is. I am over the zombie stuff. It is everywhere. It is overdone.
Oh, my bad. Continue.
Oh, I guess my rant is over.
As far as like samurai game goes, it's unfortunate because Sony actually has like a couple really good ones.
Yeah, well, I'll never know.
I know, that's what I'm telling you. Ghost of Tsushima, one of the best games I've ever played.
I heard that did well, and it looked fantastic from a little bit that I saw. But I do feel like Ghost of Tsushima will eventually hit PC port at some point.
I believe it. And if it does, you definitely should.
Yeah, it definitely has that feel of that type of game that will be selected to hit the PC world one day. All right, this one I couldn't wait to talk about because this blew my mind and I loved it immediately. Palworld. They basically described it as Pokemon with guns. And boy, was it Pokemon with guns. It looked fantastic.
It absolutely did. So this Pokey Call of Duty alpha mode going on here, it looked really good. I hope they don't regret using Pokemon with guns, because we know how Nintendo is with their cease and desist. So,
I mean, all they said is that's the best way to describe it, and they weren't wrong. You got these cute little critters, and I'm not gonna lie, they do resemble Pokemon, and there's just enough changes to realize that it's not the same thing. But apparently they come with weapons, depending on the, I don't know what the creatures are going to be called, the PAL, I guess. Depending on the PAL will determine on what weapon the creature uses. And it's, so from what I saw, the creatures themselves look like Pokemon with guns, but it felt a lot more like Monster Hunter to me, where you had your weapon of choice, your style of combat, whatever, and then you go onto the world and then you encounter large creatures and then you take it down, and you know, you just dodge the creature's abilities. It has a health bar, it goes down, and then you can capture it. So that's the vibe that I got. Not that it's a bad thing. And the art looked fantastic. The little bit that they showed of gameplay looked phenomenal. But yeah, it is 100% Pokemon with guns.
Yeah, and no, I'm here for it. Look, and it's crazy how it overshadowed Temtem. Like, I forgot that game existed until I saw the PAL World trailer.
Yep. And Temtem, I feel like it has such good potential. But like you said, Nintendo might step in a little bit to mess with them, but I don't think they can, unless they use a name, a character, like even an NPC's name, or anything like that. Like, I don't think Nintendo has a leg to stand on, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to try.
True. There was a Starfield leak for like each edition that came out, and you know, pretty standard as far as you can think. But one of the coolest things that I actually saw come out of Starfield is there's a Starfield controller, right? A Starfield themed controller, and it looks really good.
That's pretty neat.
I'm gonna get it.
But it looks cool.
But it does look cool. You know, like they put out like the Halo ones, but I think the last good Halo one was either Reach or 3, like the controller.
The Halo Reach one, yeah, that one was fire. Fire. I had that one. I also had the Halo 3. Remember those wireless earbuds that you can get for the Xbox 360? Yeah. Good times. Those things were horrible.
they were absolutely atrocious.
They were so bad, but I had that. Oh man, that's what that reminded me of.
The Xbox 360 camera. Do you have that?
The Kinect?
No, not the Kinect. There was a camera that you were able to get for the Xbox 360. And
no.
I didn't own one, but my cousin did. And it was one of those techs where it would take a picture of you. And the only reason I used it was because you were able to upload it to Rainbow Six Vegas 2.
Yep. And it'll make a character that looked like you. I was going to mention that as soon as you brought that up. So yeah, it made a character that looked like you. And Rainbow Six Vegas 2, to my knowledge, was the only game to perfect this. Was when you spoke, your character spoke, and it looked realistic. Like, it actually matched what your mouth would look like as you were speaking. So when you were in a game with friends, this was before group chats where you took it out of it because you played the sound played through the game. Your character would look like they were talking and say what you were saying in real time. And to my knowledge, that game was the only one to have done it perfect.
The only other game that tried it was actually Grand Theft Auto 5, top of my head.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you had it enabled, like, you know, like voice chat, essentially, like your character would, mouth would open and look like it was talking.
But you had to speak through in-game. And yeah, after the era of game chats, everything's been group chats, party invites only. So I don't think those effects are relevant anymore. But for a time where it was a thing, Rainbow Six did a pretty good job at making that look and feel realistic. So good on them. Was there anything else announced worth mentioning?
Top of my head.
How could I forget about this? The Street Fighter 6 Transformer thing. I'm not part of the fighting scene thing. It's not my jam, but this looked terrible in my opinion. But people are here for it. They wouldn't make it if people weren't interested in some weird robot dinosaur Street Fighter combo.
So that particular game, I'm right there with you. I'm really not into the fighting scene, but I gotta agree, it did not look like my cup of tea at all.
Yeah, it was interesting. But like I said, they wouldn't have made it if people weren't interested in it. So I'm sure there's, you know, three guys super excited about this. And another thing, I definitely wanted to get your take on this. The Witcher 3 Season 3 trailer that aired through Game Fest. Did you catch it?
I'm excited for it. It's kind of sucks. It's going to be the last time we're going to see Henry Cavill in that role. Because Season 4, who knows what's going to happen with that. But this is going to be, I think they're releasing it in two parts. So at least we get that.
Yeah, it looked pretty good from the trailer. I might try to kickstart it again. I've tried twice already, and I just can't get through it. But, you know, third time's a charm, I guess, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, man, if you can't, you can't. You know, the trailer that we talked about a while ago for Immortals of Avum, I was not impressed with the gameplay.
Really? It was interesting. I wouldn't say I was over the top about it, but I appreciate that they're trying to make a new world and a new story. It's hard to make everything feel new, no matter what you make any, you know, in this day and age, is going to have an element of something that's already been done. So I can't fault them for that, truly. So I do appreciate them just trying to create an overall new game in general. But I will say the small clip of the gameplay, I wasn't there for it at all. It looked really bad.
Like the animation and like the actual shooting like looked fun, but like the mechanic, the story seems basic. Like I don't really have high hopes from that aspect.
Yeah, and it's a high VAT. Like there's a lot of big names in there, so they're spending a lot of money into this franchise, and I agree with you. Unless something changes drastically or there's something about it that they haven't announced yet, I don't see this being a top game or even a game that will get a part two.
Yeah, no, not at all. And it kind of sucks because you have Gina Torres in there, and she's just phenomenal. You know, she's Ikora Ray in Destiny. You would know her from Suits. You watch Suits, right?
Yep.
Yeah, she was Jessica Pearson. Mm-hmm. So she's going to be in this, and she's just a phenomenal actress. It just kind of sucks to see her talent being wasted here, in my opinion.
Yeah, so, I mean, they might polish it up between now and release. Doubtful. Very rarely do developers change directions, but maybe they will. So we'll see. And maybe, you know, like, the story will be better than it seems, but I don't know. We shall see. The small little game clip that they showed did not look that great.
What about that game you said that this is what Dragon Age was supposed to be? Was it Witchfire, I think?
Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head the title. Let me go through this little list real quick. Nope, definitely not Witchfire.
And maybe it was Path of Exile 2.
Path of Exile is top down. So definitely not that one. I don't remember. There was a game where I said that this is what Dragon Age should have been. It looked really good. Once I go through this list, I'll point it out if I remember. But I got here Nicolas Cage coming to Dead by Daylight. Was so surprised by this. It was so stupid. It was great.
I mentioned it in the group chat to David. When it was announced, and then this is like the official debut, I guess.
Yeah, my whole question is why? I don't know. That's where I'm sitting with it. Not that it's going to be a bad thing. I don't play Dead by Daylight. I do watch it from time to time just because it's so funny.
I don't know where they're getting all this money from, because you got to remember, almost all those people are like, yeah. Those are licensed names, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So
it is very, very interesting to, I don't know what, I don't, like, I, most hey, of them are hey. DLC. Like,
who's Call of Duty, bro. Call of Duty.
Okay.
Call of Duty supports all franchises. That's clearly how it works. Screaming. So, naturally, that's That's what's playing for Dead by Daylight. I mean, they do have things you can buy in game. They do have microtransactions for skins and things. Is it enough to keep them afloat? I obviously don't know. I'm not in that world, but it's part of the game. And maybe they are making enough because the horror scene, there is a large fan base. So it's not like it's an unknown game or a small game by any means. It's not our cup of tea, but there is a large community that supports it. Maybe they're pouring every paycheck into it. I mean, I know that's what happens with League.
Screaming. you're not wrong though. Like I think all the DLC is basically, the actual monsters or the characters. And I think there's a lot of costumes, so potentially that's where it's coming from.
Yeah. So I think I found the game that I said is what Dragon Age should have been, is Throne and Liberty. It looks so good. It looks like Dragon Age in general, in the sense that, you know, you have your main character, it falls under a class, and then you can do things based on that class, and then you face off against monsters. Typical RPG stuff. But the thing with Dragon Age is it has a lot of like sorcery, magical elements to it or whatnot. And I always thought that it was cool how it just feels and flows with the games. And Throne of Liberty has that exact same feel from what I was watching, that I got from same feeling I got with Dragon Age. And I love Dragon Age. So I think Throne of Liberty has a good chance of being pretty, pretty good.
And just for Tortuga, there was a leak in price for the DLC for Cyberpunk 2077, and it seems like they dropped the 2077 portion of it, which is kind of weird. But this Phantom Liberty DLC was leaked at $35.
Damn, that's practically a game. Did they say how many hours it's gonna be?
No, it was leaked. It wasn't an official announcement. So gotcha. We don't know.
$35. It better be a large DLC for that price.
That's what they were hoping for, and that's what, you know, the players were looking for as well. Especially considering they hired Idris Elba to play a major character, a major NPC.
Yeah, that's how they get you into the game. That's how they got me with Keanu Reeves to begin with, and now they're trying to do this with Idris Elba. So, I don't know. I fell for it once. Shame on me.
But I think what's going to save us a little bit here is that it is only going to be for current gen. So Series S, Series X, PS5, and PC.
You're telling me is they don't have a leg to stand on for their next excuse for bombing on this one.
You got it. Any developer bugs, glitches, anything along those lines, solely on them.
Yeah, well, I think, like I said, I learned my lesson. I'll wait for it to come out. I'll wait a week to see what the general consensus is, and then I'll make a decision. Because it was so bad. I understand you had the golden copy and you had very minimal problems, but let me tell you, my experience was atrocious. My game crashed nonstop. PC, it crashed nonstop. I wasn't even able to truly enjoy it because of all the bugs. The T-pose, I had the T-pose glitch as well. The list goes on. And the driving was still terrible.
Driving is absolutely atrocious. I avoided it like every chance I could.
Yeah, it was so bad. We can sit here all day and complain on how bad Cyberpunk was, and I really tried to get into the story and enjoy it, and with the differences with your choices, which I didn't feel like there was much player agency in general. I feel like that was lacking, even though that was one of the largest things that they were, you know, hyping about it. But the list goes on and on. But Keanu Reeves was in it, so that was cool.
One last thing for me is, I've been seeing a bit more about Assassin's Creed Mirage, you know, taking place around the time of Assassin's Creed 1 with Altair. I kind of hate how I fall into gimmicks. And I saw something and, like, I got way more giddy than I should have. Apparently, they're going to throw in the ability to switch back to basically add like a filter to make it look like Assassin's Creed. And I could not believe how excited I was that I'll be able to add like that blue tint from the first game in Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I didn't realize that was a selling point for you, bro.
I hate that it's a selling point.
Yeah, so they're going to give it the option to essentially put a blue filter over the game, and it's going to give it that original Assassin's Creed feel. I didn't realize that the original Assassin's Creed was blue tint. Apparently it was. I'm not getting that callback looking at the side-by-side comparison, but it's going to be a thing that they're going to include. I'm probably going to keep it on the warm tint only because that's how they designed the new game for it to be intended. So I'm probably playing it that way. But I will say just the fact that it's going back in time to this era is making me want to pick up Assassin's Creed again since Black Flag. That's the gap.
That's crazy. If you can find Syndicate, I enjoyed Syndicate, but that was it. I didn't like any of the other ones. Like, I tried Origins because it was new. Wasn't crazy about it. I beat it. But it was, I don't know, ever since Black Flag, they just haven't felt like Assassin's Creed games. Like, Syndicate did a better job of it. But overall, it's just, the story was so good with Desmond, and it just went downhill from there.
For sure. But they have said many times that this Mirage game is going to look and feel like the original. So they're going to try to keep to that. So if they're able to pull it off, I think this may be able to reignite what a lot of people have been complaining about when it comes to Assassin's Creed. So I'm glad that they took that bit of hiatus to kind of gather their bearings and make a good game again in the Assassin's Creed world. Because I enjoy the story. I enjoy the concept of the, what's it called? The Animus. Well, that's the company, but, right? Animus no, company but, and device.
No, it's Abstergo.
Abstergo. Yeah. Well, I haven't played since Black Flag, clearly. I'm pretty sure that's still the case. I can't imagine that they strayed from that anyways. But very interesting. And then curious to find the Easter eggs as well and the secondary storyline, if they even kept doing that, because there was always the main storyline and then the side storyline with subject 15, subject 16, something like that.
I think it was, wow, I forgot what, I think Desmond was 16, so 15 would be the one from Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah, so he was following what his predecessor was going through, and the little clues and stuff of what they went through was left throughout the game, which I thought was fantastic to include. So there was a secondary story that you can track if that was your jam. So good on them. So we'll see how much of the original game they're going to like put into it. And that's what I'm saying. Like, they have a lot of potential to make a really good game here. I will be tight if it's a complete remake, though. If it's an absolute remake.
No, I think it's just going to be within that frame, because I think Altair is already going to be whatever the headmaster is. I forgot what it is.
Oh,
yeah.
That's pretty neat.
That's my understanding.
I didn't know that. That's exciting.
And, you know, I just saw Tears of the Kingdom, like, has already sold like 10 million copies.
Wow. That's a lot of copies. 10 million copies?
Yeah, I think lifetime for Breath of the Wild was like 30 million, and this one has already hit 10 in like 2-3 weeks that it's been
out. That's 700 million in sales.
Yeah, that's how Nintendo can supply all these cease and desist.
That's 700 million in sales, and it hasn't even been a month. Well, it might have been a month.
We're just under 2 days.
I'm going to see if Nintendo published what the project cost. Let's see. They usually don't, but sometimes these things get leaked. No, they never announced it. Eventually they will. Someone will find something at some point. Because I love seeing how much they spent on a project like this. To make 700 million in sales is wild in less than a month. That's ridiculous. I'm pretty sure they made their money 100 times over at this point. Jesus. Good for them. Tears of Kingdom 2 incoming.
And if you really think about it, they probably subsidized a lot of cost of how much assets they were able to reuse.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, that's absolutely true. You have it. Would you say the graphics are the same as Breath of the Wild? Or
yeah, pretty much. Slight improvement. No, there is a slight improvement as far as like things from the overworld. Like the Malice, that's called Gloom this time around, looks like really good. You know, the depths are also look good. Because, you know, you have like the different levels of like the monsters, right? Red, blue, black, and silver. And
sure.
There is gold, but that was only for master mode. And basically, as you went up, they had more health, they hit harder and things like that. But the monsters now, you basically get three maps with the game, okay? And so you have the base game, the main map of Hyrule on the surface, right? And then you have the sky, which is like broken up. So there's like different islands like all over the place. But you get a complete third map that's like underground, and it's its own map. So it's kind of insane how you get all of that. There's a lot to do in this
game. That's pretty neat. I hope so. For $70, gotta kick up the standard a bit. But that's pretty cool. It's still on my to get list. Not that Nintendo is notorious for putting things on sale, but you know, we'll see. We'll see how long I'll wait. Quick note, so Diablo 4 officially launched, which is pretty cool, and I played the beta for a bit, and it was fantastic. And just a little note that apparently the most picked class in the game was Sorcerer, which I thought was interesting. You think it makes sense?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with the Sorcerer in Diablo 3.
Well, that was a wizard. Haha. Okay. Actually.
Okay.
But no, yeah, the wizard was still the caster in general. But I always thought that the barbarian was always like the go-to, the warrior, whatever it was. But it looks like, nope, sorcerer is the most chosen class. I also think it's the most broken class. Like, I think it does the most damage. Especially in the later stages of the game, which is important if you're playing hardcore mode. And the last thing that I have is remember that Lord of the Rings edition for Magic the Gathering?
Yes, they were going to have like the One Ring as a
card. Yeah, yeah. So they're only printing one copy. And it's going to be, there's people putting bounties on it for $1 million.
That's pretty insane. One real quick thing is going back to Diablo, and then you can sign us off. But, you know, a player who had already hit level 100, right? You know, they're giving out awards. I forgot what it is exactly, but they're giving out, like, awards for people who hit level 100, and one of the first people to do it on hardcore, which is basically a permadeath mode, he ended up losing his character because of a server disconnect.
I'd be so tight.
Yeah, he died because the server disconnected, and I would have raged.
I would be so tight, honestly, enough to uninstall and maybe never play again, which I doubt because with Diablo, it's one of those games where it's part of it.
Yeah, if it's your fault, I would understand. Like, if you, you know, misclick whatever, like, you know, that sucks. But to have it happen on Blizzard side, not for me.
Yeah, I don't know if they even have a way to kind of, like, restore that. Like, oopsie, my bad. Especially if he was streaming or recording to prove that it was Blizzard's fault. I don't know. I don't know if they have it in them to do something good. But, yeah, that's all the stuff, mate.
All right, sounds good. Well, thanks everyone for joining us, and Tortuga, take us out.
Peace. Let's see, what do we got? Yeah, no, that's everything. Thank you for hanging out with us yet another week. Definitely check the links in the description below for all of our other content. Reach out to us via Twitter @2guys1level. Let us know what you thought of this episode any previous episodes and what you would like for us to cover in any future episodes. Again, thank you all for hanging out, and we will catch you all next time. Until then.